That looks like a menu at a five-star restaurant. Welcome to this edition of Chiefs Live. Mitch Holtz is with you along with the Snapper. Kendall Gammon, 15 years of being the best at what he does and did. But lots to talk about. And we want you all to continue to be productive in the workplace. But this is the kind of show of what's my butt. Yes. We're going to freeze and fry your PC, your tablet, your iPad, everything you've got. We're going to just melt them down. Laptop, because there's a lot to talk about and a lot of exciting things to talk about. Kendall, just an overview, kind of a blanket global view of what you've seen happen in just the last couple of days, because we're going to micro this down to the releases of just the last couple of days.
Well, Mitch, you're right. There is a lot to talk about, and it's crazy. I'm still going to go back to when Coach Reed came in here, and he talked about the fact that you've got to be cognizant of what you've got underneath your nose. Well, it is very plain to me that they did their due diligence. They figured out what they've got. They figured out what they'd like to have. There's a plan in place. No one knows it but them, and they're executing. Last couple days have been fabulous. Certainly, we're going to go over those. But this is a regime that, as a Chiefs fan, you can get very, very excited about.
I've used the two words. I tweeted it out on Monday: quick and decisive. Mm-hmm. Since the 31st of December, starting with Clark Hunt's decision to recruit and then get Andy Reid, this has been quick and decisive. But one thing, you can be quick and not make good decisions, but they had their plan, but they're now making the market react to them. They're not reacting to the market. And quite honestly, Kendall, it's been a while since that's been the case at One Arrowhead Drive.
Mitch, you're right, because that's the fact. They were on the front end of the curve, and they've done a good job, able to pick the coaching staff, rather, that they wanted before some teams had even decided what head coach they wanted. A week later, they get John Dorsey from Green Bay doing some great things. I mean, you're seeing the personnel brought in, and we're going to look at this here in a little bit. It is really, really good. Now, they talked about it. You can't build a team through free agency per se, all the thing. But you look, you find out what holes you need to fill to help make the team more competitive. And from there, you get on to the draft as well. They talked about it when they came in. They had to look at things. They had to figure out what they had. And they had to formulate a plan. I like the fact that when they came in, they're like, listen, I can't give you all the answers right now because I just got here. Now, granted, as they said, I was in here at 5 a.m. watching tape. But the fact is, you don't have it going yet. But now you've seen the plan, as I said earlier, being put into place.
Free agency in the NFL and college free agency after the draft is completed assimilates college recruiting. Free agents have to want to come to your place. And with Andy Reid and John Dorsey in place, this is now a place where people want to land. Don't overlook that fact. Now, we need to deal with the news of today before we get into all of the new news. This kind of covers old news as if we're following Robert's rules of order. And that is the Chiefs released Matt Cassel today. Matt, of course, picked up in the trade in 2009. This is a fabulous human being. I have tons of respect for Matt Cassel. This is a good man through and through. Overall, your thoughts on Matt Cassel being released and his time as a Chief?
Well, you're exactly right in terms of he is a great person. He was a good leader. Things just don't always work out in the NFL, Mitch. You know that. You've been around this league for as long as I have, and sometimes a change of scenery is necessary. Certainly, things didn't go the way you would like the last couple of years. Last year, very, very rough. You could argue a lot of different contributing factors, but the fact is, in the NFL, you either get it done or you don't get it done. It didn't happen. It was time to move in a new direction, and that's what the Chiefs are doing.
Well, last year, the turnovers, we see one here, this one hurt. This was that 17-0 deluge by the Chargers early in the game at Arrowhead Stadium. But in the case of Matt Cassel, things I'll remember is in 09, after training camp was completed, Chan Gailey's fired, a grocery cart is brought in, and they have to slam the playbooks in there. They change the playbooks the week before the season begins. The change of offensive coordinators. His 2010 season, where he got a Pro Bowl bid that year, leading the Chiefs to division championship. But then the loss of confidence in 2012. I could just feel it. I could see it. The turnover started to rise, and the confidence went away. You played this game for 15 years. When the confidence starts to wane in this game, how difficult is it to succeed?
It's very difficult, and you're right. The confidence, when it does start to go down, you have some issues because the NFL is a high-performance business. You're under the gun. You're under pressure each and every week. And when things start to snowball, they snowball quickly. That's what I think you saw in 2012. The turnover ratio just was something that couldn't be tolerated. Some of his own doing, some not. Some balls bouncing off people and into other people's hands, as you saw there. So it is what it is. It comes from all parts, but when it comes down to it, it's time for a new direction.
And we wish Matt and Lauren the best. Mm-hmm. Again, they are fabulous folks and great ambassadors for the National Football League. All right. The page turns. The new quarterback in town, yesterday being introduced to the Chiefs kingdom, if you will, Alex Smith. And Alex Smith now comes to Kansas City with the trade. The Chiefs make a trade with the San Francisco 49ers. Let's take a look back at yesterday before we break down Alex and what he brings to the table and him being introduced in his first real day in the kingdom.
You know, in talking with Andy, we're both very impressed not only by the accomplishments that Alex has obtained on the field in the past few years, but we know we're getting a quality person here. To be the quarterback of this franchise and the leader in the locker room, or one of the leaders. As we move forward in the 2013 season, we feel very fortunate that Alex will be a member of the Chiefs franchise for years to come. I want to welcome Alex, his wife Elizabeth, and his family to the Kansas City Chiefs family.
I feel like because of what I've gone through, I mean, you grow as a player, you grow as a person, and ready for this. This is a new opportunity for me. Can't say how excited I am for it. Thankful for the opportunity, you know, and here to get to work and make the most of it.
From a coaching standpoint, what a tremendous addition to a locker room, and obviously a fine football player, but even a better person. So, and that's welcomed here. His leadership, I think, is something that this team will benefit from and we'll be able to build around to. Well, he's run an offense that's very similar to ours, in particular the last couple of years, and he's done it at a very high level. Statistically, I mean, you can look at that part of it, efficiency, you look at that part of it, and the winning, which we're all graded on, you look at that part of it, and so he's got pluses in all those areas. I'm going to tell you, every position, we try to present competition because that brings out the greatness in the player. I just think that's and thus makes you a better football team. But I'll tell you, Alex is a starting quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Everybody, you want to be great. I mean, you want to shoot high. You want the expectations to be high. None of us are playing this game, coming to second. You know, I mean, that's not why we're here. We're here because we have something in us that pushes us because we love the competition. To find out what we got inside, you know, and I think that's what's special about this job, and for me is I get to find out on a weekly basis what I'm made of, and you get tested, and a lot of people go through life and they don't get that opportunity, and fortunately enough we get it all the time, and I love it. I mean, that's why we're here.
Let's go back to the start of his NFL career, coming out of Utah, and by the way, he'll be 29 on May the 7th. But Alex Smith was the 1-1. He was the number one pick in the draft when he came out of the University of Utah. Was thrown to the wolves in San Francisco. But Kendall, your thoughts overall on Alex Smith being the new Kansas City Chiefs quarterback?
Well, certainly, I think, Mitch, it's a great move for the Kansas City Chiefs and for Alex Smith for a lot of different reasons. You have to be excited about the fact that this is, as you said, a former number 1-1 pick. And you see some of the things he's done in his career. Did he start off well in San Francisco? No. But as you said, thrown to the wolves. I think he had a 40 quarterback rating that first year, but he steadily improved each year. He had injury issues throughout, but it's the last couple years that I think you have to look at. This is a guy that I think can make all the throws. A lot of people talk about the arm strength. I don't buy it. I think he does have the arm strength. He can certainly throw the ball over the top to some of the new receivers that the Chiefs have now, or I guess one with Donnie Avery. But more importantly is the fact that I think his familiarity with the West Coast offense will be huge, and that was certainly one factor. I think Coach Andy Reid talked about the fact that even throughout the past several years, he's inquired time to time to see where they were with Alex Smith. So this is a guy that he's liked and had on his radar for quite some time.
Okay, there you see some of the bio for him. The third best quarterback rating in the league through 10 games. He was 5 passes short for qualifying for all the statistics. We're going to get into this. 32% of the completions were to tight ends. That was in 2011, actually. But anyway, the point is, we'll get to that with the Anthony Fasano signing. There's some other numbers that pop out to me with Alex Smith. One, the most important one, 13-3 in 2011 with a playoff win, a tough playoff win, 36-32 over New Orleans, and then an overtime loss to the Giants. Okay, so he goes 1-1 in the playoffs. 7-2-1 in those 10 games played in 2012. So do the math. That's 25-1 in 2 years. That's pretty good. Touchdown to INT ratio. 17 touchdowns, 5 picks, and 11 in 12, 13 touchdowns, 5 picks. And then his yards per attempt, something Troy Aikman always looks at. His yards per attempt, if he would have had 5 more passes last year, it would have been better than Peyton Manning and just under RG3 in leading the National Football League. The numbers the last 2 years, if you're bar graphing Alex Smith, to your point, they have grown steadily forward like you want your stock portfolio to do. What about his growth, specifically the last 2 years, and what does he bring to Kansas City in that regard?
Well, you mentioned most of it, Mitch. I think the 70% completion rate last year when he went out due to injury was huge. What I like about it and what you heard Coach Reed talk about is the fact that this is a guy that they believe has an understanding of the system. In West Coast offense, you've got to get the ball out of your hands to the playmakers and let them make plays. You've got to make quick decisions, you've got to make decisive decisions, and you've got to do it on the run under pressure. And what Coach Reed talked about was the fact that he can do this. He makes it look very easy when he does it, if he's changing plays at the line of scrimmage and things like that. To make them look easy means that you've been doing your homework. You've been in the film room doing a lot of different things a long time. You're working hard. I think that's some things they see in him.
Coach Peterson, the new offensive coordinator, former quarterback of the Packers, former quarterback's coach, Coach Nagy there, meeting with the new quarterbacks. We'll get into Chase Daniel in a second and some of the new free agent signings yesterday. But Alex Smith, now there's a couple things. Kevin Bremner did a great job of putting together those highlights. One, we saw him throw into the tight end, Vernon Davis, on a couple of those. The other one that I thought was great, they're showing at Candlestick Park, they're showing Steve Young running around, running boots. I think what's overlooked in Alex Smith's career is his mobility.
You're exactly right. He can hurt you with his feet.
And what about his athletic, overall athletic ability?
I think he does a great job. When it's not there, he knows when to pull it down. I think another mark of a good quarterback is when you see the zone open up either to the side or in the middle, and you take off and you make a play with your feet. That really, really hurts a defense when all of a sudden you can get 10 yards just through your feet and get out of bounds. I've seen him run several times with it out of the pocket, which is huge. Is he a Colin Kaepernick? Is he running that type of offense? No, he's not, but that's not what he's asked to do. But again, he can do some good things.
And here's a deep throw. Some would say the knock on him is the 9 route or the 7 route, the deep corner, the deep out, puts it on the money to Crabtree here against the Rams. When you have looked at the tape of Alex Smith, what do you see on the deep routes?
Well, I disagree with what people say in terms of having the arm strength issue. I think he's a guy who can make those throws. I think the fact that you can make a quick decision and you know where to go with the ball, that can help compensate a little bit. For me, when you're talking about arm strength being an issue, you're talking about being on the far hash and throwing the 15-yard out to the other side when you really have to drive the ball. That might be a little bit more difficult, but that quite honestly might be a little bit more difficult for probably half the QBs in the league. So it's something that I don't see as a big deal. This is a guy, again, understands the offense. The West Coast, a horizontal offense where you try to use the whole field, and then all of a sudden you go over the top with people because they're trying to defend it side to side. Now you go front to back.
And I see mechanics when I see those video of him. Mm-hmm. Good, solid mechanics, footwork, release of the football, doesn't pat the ball, doesn't waste that a fraction of a second, if you will. But the other thing that comes to mind is he's not afraid to be a leader in the locker room. Let's be honest, Matt Cassel was that guy. He took on the responsibility and took it on like a man. But Alex Smith, if there's some similarities with Matt, is he brings that same demeanor to the locker room, does he not?
He does. And you know what really strikes me is the fact of what happened to him this year, the fact that he lost his job through injury, 49ers went a different direction, yet you heard nothing from him. You heard him voice his displeasure that, of course, no, he didn't want to lose his job and he wanted to be out there, but nothing else. He wasn't divisive. To me, that's a guy that understands what it takes to get it done in the NFL. He knew that it was what it was, and you had to deal with it. I like guys like that because they're team players. I think this is a guy that will come in from day one, will have the instant earned respect from his teammates, and there's good things to come.
Very smart guy. He married a Raiderette, so that's pretty smart.
That's not bad.
And he's going to be happy to be at Arrowhead Stadium in a Chiefs uniform. The two times he was here was the 06 game, 41-0, and then in 2010, the 34-10 game. So he's happy to be on this side of the helmet, and it's exciting to have him here. Now, before we go to break and talk about the other free agents, One final thing. This doesn't come without expense. Let's be honest here. Chiefs gave up a second-round pick in the 13 draft, a conditional pick in 14. If everything works out well, you hope that it's an expensive pick as well in 2014. Could be as high as a second. So let's just take it maxed out. If it's a 2-2, what about the expense of the trade to get Alex Smith?
You know what? It's worth it if you have a starting QB for who knows how many years. But the fact is, I think it's also, and I've talked about this, indicative of what's coming out in the draft this year. And I think you see maybe that most people's can't agree on whether there's a true franchise QB there. Most people say there isn't. Well, if that's the case, to me, if you're getting somebody who's tested and you know can play the game and you're getting that for a second-round pick, to me, that's a deal. Is it maybe more expensive with that extra pick next year? Maybe a little bit. But you said it. You hope that that does go to a second-round pick, so that means that he's doing his job.
And he's only 29.
Is that again, 1 year?
29 on May the 7th.
1 year older than Whedon.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the other thing with the Chiefs Kingdom. A lot of discussion since the Alex Smith trade became public a couple weeks ago is in the background of John Dorsey, in the background of Andy Reid, they don't stop drafting quarterbacks. We all know the Chiefs went 15 years and only drafted three quarterbacks. When Andy was in Philadelphia, had Donovan McNabb, led him to the Super Bowl, but they didn't stop drafting quarterbacks. They drafted Cobb, they drafted Kafka, they drafted, you know, on the way down the line, Foles. And the same thing with John Dorsey when he was with Ted Thompson. They had Brett Favre, but they went ahead and drafted Aaron Rodgers. Right. They drafted Matt Flynn. You know, they drafted Graham Harrell. So just so the Chiefs Kingdom knows, you've got a new sheriff in town, but I don't think that does not mean that quarterbacks go off the radar for the Chiefs for the next 15 years.
I would agree. They would probably go draft one if it made sense, depending on what that round is. Now, this year, of course, they've addressed it already with the two QBs they've brought in. But in general, if it's something that makes sense, I think they would do that. QB, like pitcher in the MLB, is the commodity, and it's a commodity that guy touches the ball every play, so it's something that has to be valued.
Well, I feel like it's Christmas Day and we're opening presents. That's what I put out on Twitter last night. And Santa Claus in this analogy, of course, is John Dorsey. But Santa's helper is Reed Farron. When we come back, the Chiefs insider will help us break down these new free agents that are now all part of the Chiefs Kingdom with your new quarterback, Alex Smith. We'll talk about it when we return on this edition of Chiefs Live.
Just because it's springtime doesn't mean you have to miss out on football. That's right, there's no off-season for Chiefs fans, and that's why there's a show for those who want to stay close to their favorite team all year long. It's Red and Gold. Red and Gold will take you around town, Arrowhead, and into the lives of players and coaches like no other show. Check local listings for dates and times. It's Red and Gold.
Corona Light presents Kenny Chesney's No Shoes Nation Tour. Starring Kenny Chesney. And Eric Church. Eli Young Band. And introducing Casey Musgraves. Saturday, June 15th at Arrowhead Stadium. Tickets are on sale now. Available at all Ticketmaster ticket outlets. Kenny Chesney and friends in concert.
Love the Chiefs? Join us. Stay connected and join the growing communities of the Chiefs Kingdom. There's so many ways. Twitter keeps you up to date on all things Chiefs.
They're not going to catch it. Derek Johnson on a linebacker blitz.
Facebook lets you respond and react to fellow fans. And Instagram takes you inside with some of the best images of the Kingdom. Stay connected to win some sweet prizes. Join in and be a part of your Chiefs 365.
Welcome back to this edition of Chiefs Live. We're joined now by Chiefs insider Reed Farron. An exciting day, days, weeks, months, actually, since December the 31st here in the Kingdom. And Alex Smith, the new quarterback, but there are other Chiefs in the fold. Reed, overall, your thoughts on what the Chiefs have done? They've been very busy.
You couldn't have hit it home any better, Mitch, saying Christmas. This is exactly what we felt like. We talked yesterday, had a great chance to talk with a lot of the free agents, Donnie Avery, Mike DeVito, Anthony Fasano. All of them had the same theme. They're here for a purpose. Just like you spoke, John Dorsey, Andy Reid, they have a mission. Mission is to improve this ball club, and each piece of the puzzle is now forming, and that's going to be a great 2013.
You've had a chance to talk with a lot of the guys. What have they had to say? I guess, you know, starting with Alex Smith.
You know, obviously he couldn't get here soon enough. They asked him yesterday at the press conference, how did he know this is the place he wanted to be? And he said, without a doubt, this is where he wanted to be. One, Andy Reid. Two, John Dorsey. He sat between the guys yesterday at his presser. He said, these two guys are the two of the reasons that I want to be here. And then obviously he likes the tradition. He likes the pieces that are being formed around him. Dwayne Bowe being signed, Jamal Charles in the backfield, great defense. Things are looking up for this team, and that's what he wants to be part of.
Well, Mitch, you described it as Christmas. I think maybe it's Christmas for Alex Smith as well.
Absolutely. He gets a lot of help, including maybe his vice president right here, Chase Daniel. Now, Reed, you were busy as John Dorsey in talking to these guys yesterday. Let's take a look at yesterday's collage and the conversations you had, Reed, with the newest Chiefs. We're getting there, maybe. So, and we've been perfect now for 7 months on this, 29-0.
Well, until we get the first time. Until we get there, Mitch, I can speak to the fact that, again, every one of them emphasized John Dorsey, Andy Reid were two of the reasons. But obviously coming here, part of the team, Mike DeVito has a relationship with defensive coordinator Bob Sutton. He loves Coach Sutton, so he's the wisest man he's ever been a part of. So he's coming here, you know, wanting to serve on the defensive line and help things out defensively. But these guys are all buying into the system that is being preached by Dorsey and by Reid.
As we look at DeVito right there, and Mitch, I think it's interesting. This is a guy, like Reid said, has a familiarity. That's a good thing when you've got some of your own folks coming in that can help you spread the message that you're trying to serve, I guess, as a defensive coordinator.
We'll get to your video in a second. We do have it. But let's talk about the guy we haven't talked to yet, and that's Donte Robinson, the cornerback. Now, let's go back to the 04 draft. Let's all kind of rethink here a little bit. He was kind of in the class of a D. Milliner in that he was a second corner taken. D'Angelo Hall was taken ahead of him. He had a terrific rookie season with the Texans. What does he now bring to the table, in your two guys' opinion?
Well, speaking of that rookie season, that's been statistically his best year. Obviously, though, he's a heavy hitter. He's known for his big hits. He's tough against the run. And now it's obviously we talked to Sutton, we talked to Coach Thomas about how he's going to be utilized in the secondary, knowing that they're only going to put him in the spots where he's going to succeed and help the Chiefs defense succeed. But obviously, he's known for his tough hits and up against the run.
Well, and you talk about how he succeeds and where he best fits. And the tape that I've seen, Mitch, is this is a guy that plays best over the top. That would be some type of zone coverage. Is man-to-man, can he play? Yeah, he can, but that wouldn't be his best thing, in my opinion, over the top. And that begs the question then, in the zone side of things, that could this be a guy that then could transition to safety if he had to also? You've got a swing guy that I think can play corner, can play in the slot probably a little bit also, which that would probably not be my number one spot for him, but then it could be a safety as well. So he shows a lot of versatility. It instantly adds depth and competition to the cornerback position for the Chiefs in 2013.
And the video I've seen of Donte, and I knew some of his collegiate teammates at South Carolina, but studied him ever since he came into the league. And to your point, the versatility. He can be a base right corner. He can play nickel corner. He can play nickel safety if you play three safeties and two corners. And the other thing that excites me is that I think that it'll accentuate what Javier Arenas can do. Mm-hmm. Because now he becomes maybe a complement to Hav. And Hav can play dime. He can blitz. You know, so it takes a little bit of pressure off Javier Arenas by bringing this guy into the fold. And there may be some other corners coming, so stay tuned. But this looks like a solid move by Kansas City and a guy who has been productive in this league. Now, Reid did have a chance to chase down the plethora of free agents that were at One Arrowhead Drive yesterday, and let's take a look at it now.
Mike, welcome to Kansas City, man.
Man, it is great to be here. I'll tell you, the first thing I heard about when I got off the plane was how good the barbecue is over here. So I'm a guy that likes to eat. I'm excited to get out and try some.
The free agency period, is it a stressful time, or what's it like?
You know, it's been such a blessing to not have to for Mr. Dorsey and Coach Andy Reid and Bob Sutton to bring me in so quick. I feel like I look at that board and you know, it's on all the networks and everything and see all the players that are still out there. and you think, wow, there's some great players still on that board. So it's still it's really a blessing to be here and be here so fast.
You've played here against mm-hmm. the Chiefs, uh-huh. against the Arrowhead fans. Uh-huh. What's it going to be like playing on the Chiefs side this time?
It's exciting. You know, I played here about two or three times, and the fans are always awesome. You know, it's always a distraction coming from an opponent team. So, you know, I'm just happy to be on the same side of the ball now.
How excited are you? I talked to Coach Reed. He just wants minicamp to get here. How about you?
Me too. You know, I kind of I'm familiar with the plays a little bit, so I'm just ready to go.
You talked about Coach Reed.
Yeah.
John Dorsey. What do you like about those two?
Just how aggressive they are, and how, you know, how great of an offensive mind Coach Reed is, and you know, John Dorsey's track record speaks for himself, and you know, so it's been definitely been an honor to be able to be in this process with them, and to, you know, also with Mr. Hunt and the Hunt family, and just everyone involved. Just it means a lot to me to be brought here to do a job, and I'm excited about it.
Is Chase Daniel the president of a bank? I mean, he looks like it. He looks like he could be like an investment banker, or you know, some venture capitalist. What a smart guy. Let's start with Donnie Avery. You had a chance to talk with him, and let's go right down the line here. Let's go back to the genesis of Donnie Avery in the National Football League. He might have been the fastest guy in the combine in 08 at 4.27 in the 40. I remember when the Rams got him, and he also had a good initial year. Howie Long's son was not the top rookie that year, even though he was the number one pick. It was Donnie Avery for the Rams. What do you see in Donnie Avery?
Hey, Coach spoke to that point, too, about that knee injury. He's overcome injuries, and he's going to get that speed back. He's got that speed back, and that's what Coach likes about him. Obviously, take the ball deep, try to take the top off the defense, and that's what Donnie said yesterday. What attracted him to this position, to this team, is Coach Reed's utilization of receivers. He cited DeSean Jackson, that speedy wide receiver, how he was used in Andy Reid's offense, and that was all Donnie Avery needed to see to get excited about coming here to Kansas City.
Well, and Donnie Avery, I think 60 catches last year for a little over 900 yards. I like the fact in terms of, we talked about the West Coast offense, Mitch, and a horizontal trying to spread it out, but then all of a sudden when you're trying to defend that spread out field, now you're able to toss the ball over the top and you've got that speed. You want to catch the ball over the top, but just the sheer fact that you have the speed and the ability to get over the top puts a lot of strain on the defense. And the fact is you're going to get some of those balls. So you've got a chance to get some big plays, and certainly that's something that Chiefs fans would like to see.
Every quarterback, you see the productivity last year with Andrew Luck. In fact, he caught Andrew Luck's first touchdown pass. But 60 receptions last year and 3 touchdowns and a pretty good receiving core. Coming back, Reed, as you mentioned, from the knee injury that knocked him out of an entire season. Here's what I like in it. In the years that he's played a lot, he's had a long of 48 yards or more in a reception in the 3 years he's played. Let's be honest about the Chiefs' receiving core in recent years. The Chiefs have not had that guy. And Kendall, you've been around since 99. I'm closing in on my 20th year. Every quarterback that's been here has said, get me somebody that can stretch the defense.
Right.
The Chiefs really haven't had that guy, have they?
You're exactly right. And again, I know I'm being a broken record, but you talk about you always stretch the field horizontally, and that's what they've had to do all the time because they couldn't vertically. But now you go this way and you go this way, and all of a sudden you've got a much, much bigger area of field to guard. It is huge. This is something that I think is good for the offense, is good for Alex Smith. Donnie Avery's got to be happy about it with Alex Smith being here. It's good for Dwayne Bowe also because now he has a chance. Dwayne Bowe's an interesting cat to me, though, because, you know, people talk about his speed, but he can run away from people. But now with that field being stressed more and more and you having that deep threat, I just think that makes him even more of a weapon.
And get that safety out of the box. If you got somebody that can zoom by him, you
right.
know, sit there with that safety sneaking up there or cheating on Dwayne Bowe to take away those slants that are so important in the West Coast offense. What'd you sense from Donnie yesterday when you talked to him?
Just the excitement to be here. In fact, I was telling you, he got the call from Coach when he was at SeaWorld with his family, left the area to come back here, had his presser yesterday. Excited, obviously, with the Alex Smith addition, the rest of his teammates. He couldn't speak enough about Coach Reed, the excitement. And, of course, we asked him. He's played here at Arrowhead. He is all about entertaining now these Sea of Red fans. Come Arrowhead, here at Arrowhead Stadium in 2013.
One final thing before we move on. He was a high school phenom at A-Leaf High School in Houston, went to University of Houston, became track football star. The drops come up. He dropped a ball in the playoff loss to the Ravens. I mean, let's just be honest here. I really like the affinity I got from him yesterday. You know, some guys just have this magnetic pull from him, kind of like him immediately. That was my first initial reaction with Donnie. But let's deal with the drops here. Let's be honest.
Exactly. Well, the handshake, I wouldn't be able to tell. He's got strong hands. I met him yesterday. Great strong hands. But the first thing when I was looking at the drops, yes, it's true, they're there. But meeting and talking to Coach Cully, I know Cully is going to bring him in. He's going to get the most out of Donnie Avery. And I don't foresee that being a problem. I know Donnie's working on it each and every day to overcome that problem in 2013.
Well, Mitch, Coach Cully was at Pittsburgh Steelers my last year when I was there, and he had great rapport with some of the receivers then. Yancey Thigpen comes to mind. So guys like that, I think that will be good for Donnie Avery. This is a guy that I think sometimes maybe lets the ball get into his body too much and wants to catch it out away from his body. So I think it'll be a good situation, and the fact is you can get over that. It's something that can be corrected.
It's always good when you can get some guys that look like refugees from the Sopranos episodes, and the Chiefs have two of them now. But let's deal with Anthony Fasano, the tight end from the Miami Dolphins, and the importance of this guy coming in. First of all, he had some of his best games at Arrowhead. I mean, he had two touchdowns in 08 against the Chiefs here at Arrowhead. He had the touchdown when the 0-7 Dolphins lit up Kansas City, and I talked about it yesterday. Now he gets to play on the other side. So let's deal with Anthony Fasano here. He's been highly productive in his time after he left Notre Dame, a second-round pick in 06. Let's deal with Fasano and read your thoughts on Anthony.
Direct quote from Anthony yesterday. Two things he liked about the offense. Obviously, Andy Reid, the offense is very friendly for a tight end. He said, I want to be part of a changing this story around. So he wants to come to Kansas City and be a part of the transformation here at Arrowhead. He also said he thinks so far the right pieces are falling into place, Dwayne Bowe, and there are more to come, and he trusts that the pieces will be in the right spot this next season. He's looking forward to it. So, again, meeting him yesterday, again, the excitement was there, and he's all over Twitter as well, excited about this move.
Mitch, a tight end friendly offense. You talked about it in the open. That's something that's big. I think you had the stat in terms of percentage of passes that Alex Smith had thrown to him, a big deal. So, while this was a big signing, it wouldn't surprise me also to see them even look at some other tight ends. That is a commodity in the NFL that can't be overstated.
If you look at the Eagles, and I talked with Rob Alvarino about this a little bit. Of course, he was in Philadelphia before he came here. But you look at Chad Lewis, Jeff Thomason, Brett Celek. Anywhere Andy Reid has been, the tight end has been a part of it. And the same thing when you look at the Green Bay Packers. We look at their great receivers, but they've always had a big-time tight end. But now, to me, it looks like you want three tight ends in this offense, the road grader, Jason Dunn type guy.
Right.
You need the skill guy that can stretch a defense, which Tony Moyaki could do that. But if Fasano becomes a guy, dependable route runner, can attack the middle of the field, will catch it and make plays.
Yeah, and he can't – I mean, Coach Melvin, he's probably licking his chops. He can't – mini camp and OTAs can't get here soon enough to see Fasano, Moyaki, when he's back. You know he's going to get the best out of both guys, and I look forward to seeing what he does here this next season.
Certainly Fasano, like you said, when he comes in, the fact is you could run the ball or you can pass the ball, and that's what you want out of a tight end.
14 touchdowns the last 3 years, 24 in his career. That's highly productive. And red zone, red zone, red zone. We'll talk about it from now till the Chiefs open the season. They've got to be better in the red zone. Fasano gives him that chance. That's the first guy from the Sopranos now on the Chiefs. The second guy would be DeVito. We've already seen him a little bit. This guy came out of nowhere, an undrafted free agent out of Maine in 2007, a former Black Bear. Your impression of Mike DeVito?
He obviously he engages the room. He lights up the room. We met him yesterday, and after we were talking with him, he said, it's just an amazing difference between here and the New York media. He said he didn't hear a question about Tebow, a question about Sanchez, and he was all excited about, obviously, coming here, rejoining Coach Sutton. Has a great respect for Sutton that we talked about, and he's definitely going to strengthen that defensive front in 2013.
Well, certainly as Glenn Dorsey parts ways with the Chiefs and goes on to the 49ers, and you've now got DeVito there to take that spot, I would think. I like the fact, I alluded to it earlier, Mitch, and the fact that he has a familiarity with what is going to be taught here, and that can help huge. And certainly when you've got a good locker room presence, I can't stress enough in my 15 years in the NFL, if it's a guy that performs on the field and they're a good locker room presence, that is really, really a nice thing to have.
In this game, again, defensive linemen don't put up tons of numbers. You won't see a 10-sack season usually from a guy. But there's one stat that pops out from me with him, and that is 6 forced fumbles. Because you can get forced fumbles at that
right
spot. So that tells me he's around the football and sometimes the ball will pop out. He's been a productive player. The Jets wanted to keep him. That was the feeling. This isn't a guy that they just said, you know what, we just let him go. They actually wanted to keep him.
Oh, absolutely. All the reports coming out of New York media, doing the research I saw, tough loss for the New York Jets as DeVito heads to Kansas City, and, we'll take his presence here, obviously, in Kansas City, the strength and talent that he brings, and obviously he's ready to get things going here.
And Mitch, you brought up a great point in the fact of the forced fumbles. I think that goes in part a little bit with the fact of being a guy that's undrafted. You see those undrafted guys, you've got to work to make that team, and it's not easy. There's 53 men, no more, and you've got to do the little things. This is a guy who's obviously pursuing down the line of scrimmage, making plays, like you said. That's big.
I see the character of all these guys, all guys I think the kingdom is going to learn to love. All right. Now, the final free agent we'll talk about, MIZZOU, Chase Daniel, the hero of the Missouri Tigers in their great run at the latter part of the 2007, 8, 9. He was phenomenal there. At a South Lake Carroll High School in the Dallas region, he comes in now essentially as the backup quarterback. What do we see here with Chase Daniel?
Respect, obviously, during the conversation yesterday with Chase, but also at the media presser with Alex Smith, Coach Reed addresses Alex Smith as the starting quarterback. So Chase comes in here. Again, he's been behind potential Hall of Famer Drew Brees in New Orleans. We talked to him about that. He's excited about what he learned from Drew, just about being a leader, being prepared, always ready. And that's exactly what he's going to bring here to Kansas City, the locker room, great family man. And he talked about, too, also being involved in the community. So to speak to your point, Mitch, great character guy.
And just to echo what he said in terms of how good a guy he is, the fact that he understands his role, he's been behind Drew Brees, he knows how to handle himself. Does he want to start and play? Of course he does. And you want competition, and I think it does create competition. Now, there's no getting around. You know who the first string QB is and who's number two. But the fact is, you've got to have a second guy ready to go in case that comes up. I would not discount the fact that he's been around Sean Payton for 4 years either and discerned a lot of knowledge from him also.
Good point. Now, let's be honest. Alex Smith has not played all 16 games every year. He's in San Francisco. And the definition of a backup quarterback to me, and we've learned this, is you've got to win at least one game in this league. I mean, that's been proven kind of. So Chase Daniel hadn't played a lot, but it'll be interesting to watch him throughout the summer. Throughout training camp in St. Joe, a lot of Mizzou fans will be excited about this, how he does in the preseason games, but his ability, can he win a game if he's called upon in November and the Chiefs want to get in the playoff, Chase?
Simple answer, yes. Coach said he's not going to bring anyone in here who couldn't see stepping in and leading a game, winning a game at this level. If Alex Smith, God forbid, were to go down, he would step in, and Coach and the rest of the staff has complete confidence that Chase can be the guy to get wins here in Kansas City.
Now, this is something after your heart, because let's let the controversy begin. Not the quarterback controversy, because Andy Reid said yesterday, Alex Smith is the starting quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Who will hold for this team? Because the last 3 years, Chase Daniel has been the holder for the New Orleans Saints. We all know about Dustin Colquitt.
Dustin, it's on.
It is on. He signed the big contract.
He did. I spoke to Dustin last week. We did not discuss the holding job, but I'm guessing Dustin will have the inside shot at that.
But Chase Daniel's held now for, and here's what's,
and he can throw.
And if you listen to the broadcast, and when the Chiefs beat the Saints, you heard the fact that the snapper from New Orleans was from South Lake Carroll High School. Snapping it to the holder is from South Lake Carroll High School. To the kicker, who was from South Lake Carroll High School. That has to change for Chase. He's got to deal with that.
You're exactly right. And that was from the voice who did his research that nobody else could have come up with.
I brought it up yesterday to Chase, and he goes, yeah, that was like the coolest thing ever. The fact that three guys from the same high school are right there on snap, hold, kick. But anyway, Chase Daniel is here, and again, he comes across like he could be governor of Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, and Iowa all at the same time. When we come back, we're going to talk about the other moves, because it's not only free agents you sign, it's the ones you keep. And we'll come back to guys who are still Kansas City Chiefs after these important messages.
Just because it's springtime doesn't mean you have to miss out on football. That's right, there's no off-season for Chiefs fans, and that's why there's a show for those who want to stay close to their favorite team all year long. It's Red and Gold. Red and Gold will take you around town, Arrowhead, and into the lives of players and coaches like no other show. Check local listings for dates and times. It's Red and Gold.
Corona. Arizona Light presents Kenny Chesney's No Shoes Nation Tour. Starring Kenny Chesney. And Eric Church. Eli Young Band. And introducing Casey Musgraves. Saturday, June 15th at Arrowhead Stadium. Tickets are on sale now. Available at all Ticketmaster ticket outlets. Kenny Chesney and friends in concert.
Love the Chiefs? Join us. Stay connected and join the growing communities of the Chiefs Kingdom. There's so many ways. Twitter keeps you up to date on all things Chiefs.
They're not going to catch it. Back of the game. Derek Johnson on a linebacker blitz.
Facebook lets you respond and react to fellow fans. And Instagram takes you inside with some of the best images of the Kingdom. Stay connected to win some sweet prizes. Join in and be a part of your Chiefs 365.
Told you the hits just keep on coming.
They do.
Before we get in to the guys that the Chiefs have re-signed, there is another Chief in the fold. This is fresh, but Andy Reid kind of tipped this off yesterday. So there's a guy in the building we're recruiting. I told you it's like college recruiting, but Sean Smith comes in, another defensive back. Now you throw that in with Dante Robinson and Brandon Flowers and Eric Berry and Kendrick Lewis and Javier Arenas, and this starts to work a little bit. What about this move?
You have drastically improved the competition at the cornerback level and basically the defensive backfield in general. If that does prove to be true, that is a coup in my opinion. That's something that would be huge. Again, a lot of different things going on. So you've taken a position that I'm not going to say was a weakness, but that certainly didn't have a lot of depth, and now possibly, potentially, you may have a lot of depth coming on.
Again, this is if. This is if. This is like signing national letter of intents in college. If. It has been reported through a couple of sources that this has happened. So if. Big if. But if it does happen, yeah. Okay. Now as we move on to yeah, as we got everything working here, let's talk about the guys that the Chiefs were able to retain. And let's start with Dwayne Bowe now. Dwayne Bowe will be 29 years old on September the 21st. All of these guys we mentioned are almost in all the same age range. Mm-hmm. Dwayne Bowe will continue his career as a Chief. Your thoughts?
You know what? Dwayne Bowe likes Kansas City, and he likes the whole atmosphere, the sea of red. It's all. He's talked about that a lot. I think it's interesting. I heard through a couple of different friends that when some of the things started changing here this offseason, that he literally said to his agent, listen, let's get this deal done. I want to be here. That's the kind of stuff you want. And that speaks again to the change that started exactly 1 week after the end of the season. Dwayne Bowe is helped by Donnie Avery being brought in, because now you've got that deep threat. I think it gives him more room to work, and the fact that you can't double him all the time. This is a guy that has proven that he can get the job done. And let's be honest, he's had a lot of different situations QB-wise that has been thrown to him. Now I think having Alex Smith come in, I think that's certainly something, that possibility was something that played into his role of wanting to be here and be a Chief.
When you study Dwayne Bowe, and you and I have been around him a lot, it is like kind of watching your children grow up a little bit. And I mean that in a positive way. He has been through everything. And when I saw him go through his Full Metal Jacket training camp of 2009, and he responded to that. But there have been a lot of things that have happened offensively with this team back and forth, and there was some thought, you know, he was franchised, he held out of camp, what's going to happen, does he want to be here? This move, the Chief said, we want Dwayne Bowe to be here. Dwayne Bowe says, I want to be here, based on your conversation or what you were able to hear. Now, all of a sudden, he gets to be coached by Coach Culley, be in Doug Peterson's offense, be dealt with Andy Reid. I just think it's an awesome opportunity. Dwayne Bowe feels like a lot of us who've right. been around here. This time, it's time to move and win. And you kind of went through all of the stuff.
Certainly.
You want to be here when it flips. I just get a sense from Dwayne Bowe. He wants to be here when this flips back to the positive.
I agree, and I hearken back to what I said a little bit ago when he talked about the Sea of Red and the fan base here and how passionate they are. I think he really has a lot of respect from that. He came from a program, LSU, that's not unlike that in terms of the frenzy and the love they have for their team. So I think that's huge. I think he recognizes the fact that for one player to stay in the same town, potentially his whole career, is a big deal also, something that I think he thinks would be nice. But when it comes down to it, I think he sees the fact that he has a chance to win, and he wants to be a part of that. Like you said, that's huge. I think he can be successful. You talked about the Full Metal Jacket side of things in camp a couple years ago. Some people would cower down and just be ticked about that. He did the complete opposite. He grew up. He learned from it. He was all in. I know being on the sideline every week for the Chiefs, when I look over there and I see him blocking for running backs and I see him trying to get in on special teams to help out if somebody's not ready to go, that's a guy who's bought in. He's bought in.
Yep, a lot of those Jamaal Charles runs are due to Dwayne Bowe. Now, there's 40 drops in 4 years. We can talk about that. To me, it's being coached and being precise in this West Coast offense, because the West Coast offense, that X receiver, how much does he have to be a route runner? I mean, precise, but then a tackle breaker.
Well, you're right. You throw that ball 5-10 yards. You're catching slants. You're catching quick outs, things of that nature. You do have to be very exact in your route running. So you're right about that. And the fact is, you've got a QB now that you feel like can get him the ball on time where it needs to be. And the fact is, a big physical receiver like Dwayne Bowe at 6'2", 220 pounds, I think is tailor-made for this offense in terms of breaking tackles and going the distance. I'll be honest, a few years ago, when he had that breakout season, I knew he could catch the ball. I knew he could break tackles. I didn't know if he had that speed, but I've seen that speed, and he's got all three. It's just the fact of how he runs, and he's built so well that I didn't see it, but I stand corrected. He can do a lot of good things.
Again, the breaking news here is that there are media reports and social media reports that Sean Smith, one of the most highly recruited free agents, let's be honest, corner from the Dolphins, has agreed to be a Kansas City Chief. That is not verified from the team yet, so it is still a big if. You can't really go there much.
Mitch, I'm going to jump into this. So we talk about that, and we, of course, again, it's being reported. We don't know it for a fact. But I'm going to tell you right now, when you see everything that is going on in Chiefs Kingdom right now, people want to be a part of this. I'm telling you, as a former player, you understand what's going on in the offseason, what teams are signing, what teams have a chance. It was a 2-14 team. People aren't looking at it that way anymore. That's simply not the case.
There was some discussion what the Chiefs would do with the franchise tag. Some asserted that it would be on Bowe again for a second straight year. Instead, it goes to Brandon Albert. Brandon will be 29 on November the 4th. Again, these guys are all in the same age range. Brandon Albert had his best year as a Chief last year. When you look at it statistically, now, he missed three games. He had the bad back. But his best year, he had one holding call. That was the fewest, tied for the fewest of any left tackle in the league in his 13 games. The fewest in his career, usually about three a year in his career. One. And that's on a 2-14 team. He only allowed one sack, Kendall. Eric Winston, compare it, allowed six. What about Brandon Albert being franchised? What's it tell you?
You know what it tells me? That they, number one, have interest in him. They believe in him. It tells me that they feel like he's healthy. And I wasn't sure about that. I think it's interesting. I didn't see it coming, Mitch, because you didn't hear anything. And I bring that up because I love it. I love the fact that I hadn't heard anything. That means people are keeping things close to their vest, and 31 other teams don't know what we're thinking. I like that. Brandon Albert, it tells me also that the Chiefs wanted to come to some type of deal. You put the tag on a guy, and then you try to come to some type of deal. Will that happen? Only time will tell, but certainly you know they'll be talking in some way, shape, or form. It's interesting, though, because now what you thought was a lock for that first-round pick by a lot of people went into a little flux. You're like, oh, well, wait a minute then. They've got their tackle situation shored up, but then the plan comes together some more in terms of what they saw, the due diligence that Coach Reed and Dorsey did, and now they let Winston go, and so now you've got a right tackle, I won't say issue, but it's something you're looking at because you've let him go, so now you don't know draft-wise. It's interesting what we're going on, but the big thing, Albert kept, I think it's a good thing. It tells me that they feel like he can play.
Listen, B.A.'s been a great locker room guy, too. Oh, yeah. He fought through that back and wanted to play for his teammates. He's well-respected in that locker room. He dealt with a lot last year with the loss of his mother to cancer. On the first day of training camp, she passed away. And this is a guy that is, he's a good man and a good player. And again, last year, the numbers do not lie. At left tackle on a team that struggled to do much offensively, when you get one holding call and one sack allowed, that does get your attention. Now, let's segue into, though, how this affects the Chiefs. You kind of talked it on the draft, because the general feeling is Luke Joeckel's at the top of the board. Nobody knows that. That's kind of the feeling that he's on the top of most boards around the National Football League. Fisher is climbing up. We've kind of chronicled what he was able to do at the Senior Bowl and able to do in the postseason. What about a thought of, instead of this guy starting as a left tackle, either Fisher or Joeckel, you start him at the right tackle? And I think of Michael Orr of the Ravens. Right. Is there a chance you start a guy at right, shift him to left, or he becomes a good right tackle, and do you still take a tackle?
I think you bring up an interesting point, Mitch, in the fact of you could theoretically take Joeckel or Fisher, move them to right tackle, and it just kind of depends on what happens with Brandon. If he signs a long-term deal, then maybe you keep Fisher or who Joeckel if you took them on the right side, but say it didn't work out and it was just that one-year tag. Now you could have the flexibility to move him over to the left side. What it comes down to and what you want as a Chief fan is the fact that it gives you options, and that's something right now that the Chiefs have a lot of.
So it could be like a Brian Bulaga situation with the Packers, where John Dorsey is with Ted Thompson. But again, you see Joeckel here at that left tackle spot and blocking for Johnny Football. But it does give still all kinds of options. And again, positives moves here by the Kansas City Chiefs. Now let's talk about the last guy that was retained by Kansas City, and that was Dustin Colquitt. Colquitt, he'll be 31. He's the old man of this group now on May the 6th, given a deal that assures him of ending his career probably as a Kansas City Chief. What did you think about Colquitt's deal?
Well, Dustin Colquitt, a former teammate of mine, just a phenomenal player, punter, what we saw last year with the punts inside the 10 and the punts inside the 20, actually setting a record but then being bested by the New York punter by one. But Dustin wanted to be here. He loves Kansas City. He told me he wanted to be here his entire career. It was important to him. This is a guy that's out in the community. He really has a deep love for Kansas City and what it's done for him. He does so many good things, and he was a bright and shining star on a team that had some difficulties this year.
Gerald Wilson, of course, the franchise punter, basically. But now Dustin Colquitt is going to be put there with Gerald on the same line. Here's what I love about Dustin Colquitt. You mentioned his punts inside the 10, 20 of them last year. That's unheard of. Inside the 10, 45 punts inside the 20. Only Dave Zastadil, as you alluded to, was one better. This is like putting a 12th defender on the field. This guy did that on a 2-14 team. I somewhat shudder to think if Colquitt wouldn't have had the year he had last year, if it wouldn't have been almost an 0-16 kind of year. Let's be honest. The great rally in this game against the New Orleans Saints was due to one man, Dustin Colquitt. And this punt started the comeback.
You're exactly right. And certainly you see great coverage there also, which will certainly continue under Dave Tobe. But the fact is, giving the unit a chance to make a play, then having the defense come out there. I don't have the exact figures right now, but I did it during the year. The fact is, when you start with the ball inside the 20, you have less than a 10% chance to score. And certainly when you start inside the 10, it goes down even further. So he was huge last year. You cannot overstate it.
Punters are usually listed as defensive players, but let's be honest, not all of them are defensive players. Dustin Colquitt is. All right, as we close, now what does this mean for the draft? We kind of mentioned at the top of the draft, but the second round pick is not there. I'm kind of with you. I'd like to see somehow that second round pick come back. And there was some discussion about that with John Dorsey yesterday. But is this wide open now, what the Chiefs are going to do in their draft?
Well, it is. It's certainly with the speculation, and we stress speculation, the fact that Sean Smith, that there's a possibility there. Because you could have been thinking about, okay, well, maybe now you go defensive back. They keep throwing a wrench into my plan, and I like those wrenches. I'm not going to lie to you. But what it says is you've got the option to do really what you hear the mantra all the time, which is take the best available player.
Boiled down, all told, common denominator, it is exciting. A lot of new Chiefs are here. A lot of key Chiefs have been kept. There's a new quarterback in town, and Alex Smith, who is hungry and ready to prove to the league that he wants to replicate what he did in 2011 when he beat New Orleans in the playoffs and lost to the world champions that year in overtime. He wants to bring that to Kansas City. Kendall, one closing thought from you.
You know what? I'm excited. It's a general one, but you cannot help but be excited with what's going on. The free agents that the Chiefs have kept, the ones that they brought in for other teams, the trade they've made, and the fact that they have the 1-1 pick, they're controlling a lot of things. And as I said earlier, everybody in this league is taking notice, and especially the players, and that's a good thing.
We know we've taken up your lunch hour, and we know you'll put an extra time at work to cover this time up. And you can also cool down your tablets and your laptops and PCs, because we burned it up today. Special thanks to Kevin Brebner, for sure,
yes,
because he worked extra to put this show together. We're going to keep you up to speed now as the weeks get closer and closer and closer to when Kansas City again is kind of dictating the league, what they're doing, being aggressive with that 1-1 pick in the NFL draft. But right now, there's a lot of things to talk about and a lot of things to be excited about. So thanks for joining us on this edition of Chiefs Live.